Okay, so this morning we're talking about community. The name of my sermon is just plain and simple community. And I actually want to start off by asking a question, and two or three of you can, it's almost like when you grade one or grade two, you know, if the teacher asks something, then you've got this kids just jumping up and screaming. So yes, you're allowed this morning for a split second. You're allowed to just jump up and scream out and so on. So I'm going to start off by asking the question, if we say the word community, what comes to mind? What's the first word in your head that comes up when we say, okay, community, what comes to mind? Family. Family? Where you live? Fellowship? We've got barbecue. People. Okay, so I think we all got more or less the same idea. It's, even for me, if I think about the word community, for me, the word that comes up, or the word that comes to mind, is together. So I don't think anyone, except one maybe, was wrong. I think all of us more or less in line of what community is, or I think what's supposed to come up when we talk about what, community. So I, just to make sure that we're on the right track, I had a look in the dictionary. I could say, if we say the word community, what does it say? And what it's saying is noun, a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. So it's either living in the same place or having the same characteristic in common. Synonyms for that will be group, section, body, company, set, circle, clique, ring, band, faction. That's what the dictionary says, it's not what I'm saying. And what is the opposite of community? Again, noun will be isolation, disagreement, difference, similarity, and adjective being private. So clearly, I think if we look at this, if we talk about community, what is community? It talks about togetherness. It talks about being together in some sense, and the opposite, of course, being to be on your own, to keep to yourself, or to be private. It's the opposite of community. Now, maybe we can ask the question, okay, so is it possible to be part of community while you are not part of that community? In other words, is it possible to be together but apart at the same time? What do you think? You can nod your heads here. Okay, most people say yes, it is possible. I thought about it, and maybe this is my demonstration or idea of this. If you, for instance, if I meet an Italian guy in Windhoek, and I ask him, so are you part of the Italian community of Windhoek? My question to him is not, are you Italian? My question to him actually is, so, you know, all the Italian people in Windhoek, do you meet with them? Do you eat Italian food with them? Do you talk Italian to them? Are you part, in that sense, of that community? That's the question. You agree with me? So even though the guy is Italian, it doesn't mean that he's part of the Italian community. And the scary thing is that the same is true for Christians. If you think about it. We're talking about community. We're talking about togetherness. And although you're Christian, it doesn't mean you're part of the Christian community of Windhoek or the world, for instance. So then I think if we hear that, then immediately I think in your hearts maybe you feel like, The Italian thing was fine. I could see that. I don't have a problem with that. But now if you're talking about Krishna, I've got a problem with that. Oh, I don't like what you're saying now. But if it's true on the one side, it's actually true on the other side. But you see, I think a lot of times when it comes closer to home, then it's difficult to hear it. But thinking about that, what determines then whether we are part of community, whether we are part of a certain community or not? I think that should be the question. Because if we know what determines if we're part of that community or not, then it's something that we can sort out maybe, or that we can get in place. And I think the answer, again, thinking back about what we said, the dictionary said, also thinking back to the Italian guy, for instance, it's not about whether we just come together or stay together, but whether we're in one mind, whether we connect in heart and in mind. That's the thing that determines whether we're part of a certain community or not. It's like if you stay in a certain neighborhood, for instance, so that is where you stay. You stay where all the other, let's say you stay in Pioneers Park. So are you part of the community of Pioneers Park? Not necessarily. You stay there, but it doesn't mean you're part of that community. Because if you're part of that community, you will know your neighbors. If that community of Pioneers Park do things where they get together, you'll be there. So you see, the question is not where do you stay. The question is, are you part of that community? The question is not where do you go to church, or if you go to church, but are you part of that community? That's the question. So actually, only if we connect with the people of that community, we can say, but we're part of that community. Otherwise, that's only the place you go, or the place you live, or the place you work. You're part of it if you connect with the people of that community, if you spend time with the people of that community. Do you see what I'm saying? Everyone's kind of quiet now, but it looks like most people get me. I think it's very important, firstly, to come to a place where we realize what is community. Community is a place where we actually connect with people around us, where we, in mind and in our hearts, where we connect, where we've got similarities, the same goal a lot of times. So, moving on, I want to talk this morning, what I actually want us to talk about is, what is the value of community? I think it was important, firstly, to come to a place where we realize what exactly community is, and to have the same understanding of community. But then secondly, to come to a place or a point where we realize what's the value of community. Because maybe we can come to a place where we say, okay, I'm not part of a certain community, so what? But if we realize the value of community, only then we actually come to a place where we say, but I want to be part of a community. I need to be part of a certain community. But then we need to realize the value of community. So what I want to do this morning, and for this I'm actually going to use scripture. I want to give you some scripture this morning where I share with you, out of the word, where we look at communities, where we look at what Jesus said, for instance, so that we can see what is the value of community. And once we've done that, afterwards, I would like to share with you this morning also about some of the stuff that this community, this church community, are busy with. And in doing that, opening an invitation to you, if you're not part of this community, to get involved and to become part of it. And if I talk about becoming part of this community, I'm not talking about signing a leadership form or something like that. I talk about coming to a place where you fellowship with people around you and where you start living into a space of moving into a space. We've got the same goals, moving in the same direction, where we connect not only in mind but also in heart. So to start off this morning, you can open your Bibles, Genesis 11. We're going to read out of Genesis. We're going to read from verse 1. I'm going to give you time to find it. Like I said, we're reading the scripture to see what is the value of community. Genesis 11 from verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come let us, not me, not this what I want to do, come let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, listen to this, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they do propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. So immediately, maybe the question is, okay, so this is unity a bad thing now? Why is it that God come and he, where there's this awesome unity, this community really being in one place, why did he come and say, okay, but no, we can't allow this? And it's not because that unity or community is something bad, but the reason why they wanted to do that. And we can see it there. Just want to get to it. It's basically, they wanted to use it. They want to build this tower for self-glorification. It's not to glorify Christ. If we look at verse 60, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, but in that we can see that complete unity. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. So you see, the first value of community, if we look at the scripture, is the impossible becomes possible. Think about that for a moment. God said, looking at this group of people, not everyone doing his own thing, but all of them working together in unity, that's the true picture of community. God looking at them saying, but whatever they want to do, they'll be able to do it. The impossible will become possible for this group of people because of unity. So the first value we can take out of community is that thing of the impossible becoming possible. And if we think about this for a moment, and you can think about the politics, for instance. You see parties, where so many times you see in that political parties what they do, and the people are arguing and fighting, and they're not just not getting anywhere. But if we see them coming to a place of complete unity, where it's not about this one want to be the president, and that one want to be the president, and this one want to be this minister. When they come to a place where they've got the same goal, going for the same thing, we see governments topple. We see them taking over countries. Until they come to a place where the unity is gone. And then again you see that political party starting to crumble. It's about the importance of unity. It's about that same goal, going for the same thing. The impossible becomes possible. A second scripture we can move to is Acts 2. And here we're going to read verse 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now before I carry on here, is a lot of times you'll hear people talk about the church of Acts. So on the one side, what we just saw is we saw this group of people in the previous scripture in Genesis that were not following Christ, but in that group we could see true community and we could see true unity, and already we see the power of that. On this side, what we look at is we see a group of Christians, a group of people following Christ. And like I said, a lot of times you'll hear the words people talking about the church of Acts. Now, this is what they're referring to. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. So there again we see that community and that unity. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Interesting concept, this Church of Acts, if you think about it. And I think maybe there's, even in politics, a lot of times we'll see parties trying to copy this thing, saying, but everyone should have the same. So we're going to force people to a place where, you know, the ones that's got a lot, they must give to the poor and everyone must be equal. But this is not the picture of this. You see, the picture of this is where people did that willingly. No one forced anyone to give away anything. They chose to do it. So what value, looking at this Church of Acts, can you take out of it? Well, one of the things you can take out of it, there was no need. There was no one staying there that was hungry. There was no one there that said, but yes, I don't have this. I've got this certain needs that I'm in trouble here. Now, everyone shared everything they had with everyone else. But I think something else we must realize when we think about this, the picture that we're supposed to see, everyone weren't driving a Mercedes-Benz. So it was not a thing of, yeah, but now everyone must get the same cars and stuff like that now. It wasn't like that. It was a thing where people came to a place where they actually said to each other, listen, I've got this wealth and this wealth and this wealth. So we don't have to get everyone up to this place. But because the rest of the people are so important, because others are important, I'm willing to let go of this, to let go of that. So all of us can have food to eat. So all of us can have a place to stay. Because you see, if we read this, it doesn't tell us what the houses look like, for instance. I know they weren't driving cars, for instance. So it was not about, no, but all of us are supposed to have DSTV. You can't have DSTV and I don't have DSTV. It's not about that. But there's a sharing, in a sense, where they were in this place of saying, but this is what Scripture says. There was no need, no lack. Everyone had enough of everything. That's part of the value of true community. But it's also a place in Afrikaans, the word is vergenoeg, om vergenoeg te wees met wat je het. It's also a place where you are satisfied with what you've got. So if we say there's no need, it also means there's no need for something nicer or better. It doesn't mean it's just necessarily talking about food and stuff like that. It's a place where people were satisfied with what they had. So you see, a value of community can also be that place where we are satisfied with what we've got. So we don't become part of a community because I want more. We become part of community so that we can grow into a place where we can say, but what I've got is sufficient. And that's a mindset. Another thing, something interesting if we look at this, is it says there, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It's interesting if you think about it. If you look at this community, you see something happening in this community. And it's God growing His church. According for me, that is like the biggest value of community. Is that place where God comes and, may I say, partner with community to grow His church. And it's like it can only happen if we move into that place where we are satisfied with what we've got. Satisfied in the sense of no need, no lack. Where God can come and He can partner with us. And where He come and He build His church. And if you think about that for a moment, that's what we were created for, is to reach other people. And I thought about this community where there's no need and where there's no lack. And how difficult it must be if you become part of a community like that and you have a lot. It might even feel to you, but if I become part of this community, I've got quite a lot. So if I become part of this, I'm going to lose out. Because, yeah, it's easy to say become part of the community if you're in need and you need a lot. It's difficult to tell that to someone that's got a lot. So he's one of those that must give away. But you see, if we think about this, I think the less we focus on ourselves and the more we focus on others, in other words, the less we become, the more Christ will become in us. Because the only way that Christ can live through us and the only way that Christ can become visible in us is if we become less. If we don't become less, Christ can't become more in us. He can't become more visible in us. We need to become less for Him to become visible in us. And the third scripture, I just want to go to the last scripture I want to use this morning, is John 17, and we're going to read from verse 18. And this is Jesus speaking, and He's talking to the Father. John 17 from verse 18, "As You sent Me into this world, into the world, so I have sent them into the world," talking about the disciples. "And for their sake, I consecrate Myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but only for those who will believe in Me through their word." So what He's saying here is, Lord, I'm not only talking about these disciples that I spoke to, but also to those people that will become disciples through their word. In other words, talking about us. Because we became disciples because of the word of His disciples. So He's talking about us as well. "That they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in us." You can ask the question, why? "So that the world may believe that You have sent Me." I want to stop there for a moment. He's talking here about, let them all become one so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. You see, the whole purpose of community is for the world to see that Jesus has been sent by the Father. It's for Jesus to be acknowledged. If you read the scripture, what it's saying is Jesus will be acknowledged. He will be accepted as the Son of God. If we become one, that's what it's saying. I want to continue there. "The glory that You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as We are one. I in them and You in Me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that You sent Me and love them as You loved Me." It's also saying there, so that the world may know that You love them. How will the world know? By the unity the oneness, the togetherness, the community of the church. That's what it's saying. So we're asking the question this morning, so what is the value of community? And I've mentioned a couple. One of them, this place of fullness, this place where we do what we were called to do, this place where we reach that moment or that place where God can actually use us to reach the lost, to reach the world. Because not only by what we say, but by what we do, by the way we live. And we spoke about this last week, where we said there's two sides. On the one side is we need to talk, we need to say things. But on the other side, we also need to be example. And by that, the world will experience the love of God the Father for them. By that, that community, that togetherness, the world will come to a place of acknowledging Jesus, the Son of God, that He's been sent by the Father. The interesting thing, if you think about this, if you think about community, I think the devil's plan or scheme through all the ages, even now, has never changed. And it's always been to separate us from community. It's always been to get us to a place where we are alone, where we're not part of community. Why? Because if we're not part of community, Jesus, the Son of God, can't be revealed through us. We need to come to a place of community for Jesus, the Son of God, to be revealed through us. Think about that. That's why the devil put in all that effort to separate us. That's why it's so hard and difficult if you choose to become part of a Christian community, if you choose to become part of a church, the body of Christ. May I say, that's why it's so hard to stay part of it. We're so often in that place where we don't want to say, want to get offended, but get offended. And we so often that place where we keep on pulling one side. Now just, I'll be here in the corner kind of thing. I'm not going to be part of everything that's going on. Why not? Because if the devil can move us into that place, Jesus, the Son of God, can't be revealed through us. We need to be part of the community, that Christian community, for Jesus to become visible in us. And in that place of community, what happens to us? We die in ourselves. We become less, and He become more. Because you see, so often in a church community, we're in that difficult place where people say things and do things that irritates us. We are in that place where we don't, I don't like what this one said or that one said, or this, that one makes me feel like this or like that. So we withdraw, we pull back. How do you move from there? How do you stay in that place? You die in yourself. You allow Christ to come and live in you and through you. But the key is to be part of community, not to withdraw from it. Also, I think an interesting thing, if we think about society, what society tells us, what society learns us, what we're supposed to do, is that thing of, no, you know, to be successful in life, you need to become independent. Isn't that what society teaches us? To be successful in life, you need to be independent. You need to be in a place where you don't need anyone else. You don't need anything from anyone else. You must be able to stand on your own. Then you're successful. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says the opposite. The Bible tells us that no, you weren't created to be independent, to be on your own, to be in a place where you don't need anyone else or where you give anything to anyone else. The Bible tells us, Scripture tells us, we need each other. Scripture tells us we're supposed to serve each other. Scripture tells us we're supposed to forget about our needs and what we want. We're not supposed to be so focused on ourselves, but on the people around us, the community. That's what Scripture tells us. So we actually need to grow into a place of community. But that's a place of humility. Because you see, if we're part of believing what society tells us to be independent, that's a place of pride. Where you can say, I have accomplished this. I have done this. I got here on my own. It's a place of pride. But a place of humility is saying, I got you because of the help of other people. I did not got you on my own. And that's opposites. And that's what we're supposed to get to. So in short, I think so often, so many of us, maybe even sitting here today, coming to this church, I don't want to say being part of this community, but maybe even some of us sitting here today, you've got fights that you are fighting. You've got things that you are struggling with. And I want to tell you this morning that fight is not only yours. And those things that you are struggling with, it's not only you that's supposed to struggle with it. There's so many things that a lot of us, you've got these battles and these things you're trying to work through. And without realizing it, there's more people sitting here this morning fighting the exact same battles. But we don't know about it. Because we don't share with each other. Because we don't listen to other people. But if we can move into a place, if we can grow into a place of community, where we become vulnerable, where we share with other people, where we listen to other people, not only focused on what's going on in my life, but where are you? What's going on in your life? What are you struggling with? You see, only if we start to do that, we'll discover that there's more people fighting the same fights that I'm fighting. And we can start to stand together to work through those battles. But as long as we're not part of community, it can't happen. Your fight will stay your fight. It won't become our fight. And you weren't created for that. You were created to stand together with other people. You were created to need other people to help you to work through your battles. You were not created to fight it on your own. So often we ask the question, and I think a lot of times what happens is we get offended with God. Because I've got these fights that I'm fighting. How can God allow this? How is it that God can think that I'm supposed to make this? He never thought that you were supposed to make it on your own. But you chose to fight it on your own. That's not God's decision. It's yours. See, if you choose to fight on your own, you're going to struggle. So did God call you to that place of struggling on your own? No, you did. We need to grow to community. We need to come to a place where we become vulnerable, open up our hearts, allow other people to come in, come closer, and where we are willing to grow closer to other people. So in a nutshell, this morning we spoke about community, what community is. And like I said, if you're sitting here this morning, you can't necessarily say, I'm part of this community, referring to this congregation. If you're sitting here this morning, you can say, I go to that church. But my question to you is not to what church do you go. My question to you is, are you part of this community? Because there's a big difference between the two. And this morning is an invitation to you to become part of this community. And may I say, it's not only about this community. There's a lot of Christian communities out there. And if God has placed you in another one, then be there. But be part of that community. Don't just go to church there. If you're sitting here this morning, there's a good chance that God has called you to be part of this community. Are you part of this community? So what I want to do now is, I just want to share with you in short what this congregation is part of, or what we're busy doing. Because if we talk about community, we realize what community is on the one side. On the other side, we realize the value of community. And we see that the only way that God can really become visible in us is if we're part of community. That, for me, being the most important value of community. Then the third point we need to get to is, okay, so I want to be part of this community. How do I become part of it? And like I said, you can't become part of it by signing a membership form. You become part of the community by slotting in, by doing what other people are doing, by getting involved, by coming into a place where you allow people to speak into your life, by being in a place where you share your life with other people. That's how you become part of this community. And what we do more or less on a weekly basis, on Mondays, for instance, we serve at a local shelter. Now, there's even some of you sitting here this morning that say you know, because that's how you got to meet some of us. It's because you came there, and I'm from there. So that's one of the things as a congregation, what we do is on Mondays we serve at a local shelter. Now, if maybe you're in church this morning and you say, okay, but I want to know more about this, I want to get involved here. Stefan is not here, he's in Swakop this morning. So I want to ask you, I didn't arrange with you, Dawn, can you quickly stand up, please? If you're thinking, okay, I'm going to get involved with the shelter, go to Dawn of the church. And just ask us, what are you guys doing? How's it working? That kind of thing. You don't have to go every Monday. As a church, we're going every Monday. But you can talk to her about it. Another thing, for instance, is on Tuesdays, we've got Bible school. It's just a place where people go and where they learn more about the Bible, the Word of God. And a lot of people I know, they go to Bible school, they don't go to cell, and I'm fine with that. Because again, that there's opportunity to become part of this community. Mike, can you quickly stand up? If you're interested in joining Bible school, I know now they're doing something for people to sign up again for Bible school. You can just have a chat with Mike. Wednesdays for evening, we've got cell groups. And yeah, I'm going to be very honest with you. I really can't understand how you get part of a church community without becoming part of a cell group. Because to me, cell group is really that place where you experience the heartbeat of the church. Because we can come to church every single Sunday, and you can sing the songs with the rest of the people, and you can listen to the sermon, and you can go home. But there was no opportunity for you to share your life. There was no opportunity for someone else to share their life with you. Then how do we move to a place where we connect in heart and in mind? And I'm not forcing anyone to do anything. But I really want to say this morning, if you want to become part of this community, get involved in cell groups. It's very difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's very difficult to become part of a community if you don't get involved there. And through the years, I've known people that's been in some of our churches for years, leaving after years, saying that the people there, they don't care about each other. My question being, were you in cell? No. So how were you supposed to experience it? We need to get involved in cell groups to experience what's out there. I think, and I almost want to say this, and maybe this is why I'm hammering on this, if I put it that way. I think, you know, sometimes you experience something really good and you just want that for everyone. Take ice cream, for instance. I think everyone eats ice cream, right? So in Vintek, now, maybe I'm not supposed to names of ice cream companies, but so if you're in Vintek, then you ask people, so do you go to Kramer's? It's like the best ice cream in Vintek. Why do I tell that to people? Get I commission out of Kramer's? No, I don't. But it's because I've tasted the best ice cream in the world in Kramer's. And I just want everyone to taste that ice cream. That's why I'll tell people you must go to Kramer's. It's the same with Cell. It's that place where you experience something where you almost can't explain to people what it feels like and what it did to your life. So you just want to keep on telling people, listen, you need to be there, you need to go there, you need to experience it. But you need to decide for yourself whether you are going or not going. It's up to you. Another thing, and I'm not going to go into all the different ministries of church. I just want to show you a couple of places where you can get involved. Because the moment you start to get involved, you're going to start experience community. Another thing, for instance, I know Sarah and Auntie Doris, you're sitting in front. They're serving at different hospitals, going to hospitals, just praying for people. Sarah is not here. Auntie Doris, can you stand up, please? Look to them, smile and wave. Okay, so if you've maybe say, okay, but I want to get involved there and also just go with it, go pray for people and so on. Speak to her. She'll be able to tell you when she go, where she go, all that kind of stuff. Another thing that we as a congregation or as a community, what we do is we do missions. Now, often we think the only way to get involved in missions is by going, but that's not true. You see, for missions, the ways you get involved is either by going, secondly, to help with finances for the people going, and thirdly, is by praying. And yeah, I just really want to say, I don't believe a mission team can go out if there's not people staying behind praying for them. And you're part of the group, you're part of the missions team, not only if you're going. So whether you're going, whether you're giving money, and whether you're staying praying, that's the mission team. Often people think the mission team is that small group leaving, but that's not true. So at this stage, for instance, we've got our next outreach team going out this next month, end of next month, the 25th of August, coming back on the 2nd of September. So that's within a month's time. It's a group of seven people going. The focus for this outreach, we're going to Katima Melilu. The focus for this outreach is basically there's missionaries staying in that area. Now, I always believe no one can serve that community, for instance, better than they that's already there. Because we can go and we can go do something to feel good for a week and come back and now we've accomplished this and that. But it's the people that gave up their lives and that stay there, they're making the difference. So what we as a congregation actually are going to do, our focus for this outreach, is to go and to serve them, the missionaries. And with them, we'll do evangelism work and stuff like that. But we're focusing on the missionaries and to serve them. That's our main focus. Now, if we talk about expenses, money, for instance, now, we're not saying, okay, those people are going, they need money so that they can go. Every person going is paying for himself. So we're each paying our own transport, our own accommodation, the expenses for the food, everyone going is paying for that. But when we get there, there's certain projects we want to do because we're serving those people. So we're going to have their vehicles serviced. We're going to do maintenance work on their houses. There's people that they want to serve and they don't have the money to serve them. So we're going to fix stuff at other people's houses and stuff like that. But that stuff costs money. And that is why we do the cake sales thing every Sunday. It's to get money together to be able to do that. And like I said, the team that's going, there's already a group, so it's too late for you to join the group that's going. It's a group of seven that's going. And we've had all our training and everything already. But we still do need finances. We at this stage about 8,000 rand short for the projects that we need to do. So it's not to get the people to go, they're paying for themselves. But that's another way that you can get involved, is by saying, listen, I want to be part of this team. I can't go, but I can help with finances. Thirdly, like I said, if we talk about the missions team is we need prayer, and a lot of it. So next week, Jacques and Ilanda, that's handling intercession in church, they'll share about that. Because we really need people to pray for the team every single day while we're gone. And they'll explain to you guys how it's going to work, how we can get involved. I'm just giving you a heads up now for next week, Sunday. They're going to ask you who can pray. We'll get involved with that. And the opportunity is going to be right there and then to put up your hand and say, "Yeah, I am. Put me on the list." And they'll get in contact with you with all the details around that. So, yeah, that's the third thing. That's another way of becoming part of this community. And we do outreaches yearly, and maybe it's okay, but you've missed this one now, but you really would like to go out. There'll be more opportunities like that again. Then the last thing I just want to mention this morning is fasting. You know, all Shofar churches at this stage is busy fasting. We've set out a month of fasting. We're not saying you're supposed to fast for the month, where for the month you're not supposed to eat anything. That's not what we're saying. Again, in this, we want to create that sense of oneness. And you see why, for how we want to do this is by saying, listen, I'm not going to fast for the whole month. These are dates. It started last week. I'm not going to fast for the whole month, but I'm willing to fast every Wednesday, for instance. I know there's some cell groups where they divided themselves up in prayer slots and everything, so they're really doing great. But together, to say we fasted for the month, I didn't do it on my own. So I know there's some cell groups that said, listen, we're taking every Wednesday. Every Wednesday we as a cell group, we're fasting and we're praying together. Other people just come and say, listen, I'm fasting every Tuesday. But what we try to do is to the whole month to cover that in prayer and fasting. Now the focus, maybe I'll just help and say, okay, but so what are we praying for? What are we fasting for? If you need more information, ask the cell leaders. They've got all the info. I'm just going to share it in short. But the cell leaders got all the info on what exactly we pray for, how we pray for things, those kind of stuff. But like this coming week, starting tomorrow, the focus of prayer and fasting for this week is love of Christ to become visible in us, vessels of glory. Something we spoke about. So the focus for this week is for the love of Christ to become visible in us so that we can be that vessels of glory. The week after that, week three, will be on love for our nation and nations on earth. So that week we will focus our prayer on this nation and other nations, but not a place of praying for ourselves, but praying for people around us. And then the last week, and that's the scripture I used this morning from John 17, the focus will be on make us one so that they might believe. That's what we spoke about this morning. That's the focus for the last week. And this is something not only Windhoek Shofar is doing. This is something that all Shofar congregations right over the world are doing right now. Becoming one. That place that God is calling each of us to. So this morning, what I would like to do with my altar call, I simply want to ask you, or maybe want to challenge you, to become part of this community. Because you see, we can be a group of people coming together. But if we're not part of this community, we'll never reach this city. But if we can become part of this community, where we really become one, not each of us our own goals, not each of us fighting our own fights, but being together like we saw in Scripture, becoming a community, nothing will be impossible for us. And our goal is to reach this nation for Christ. That's the goal. But we can only do it together. It's impossible for any of us to do it on our own. We need to become a community to be able to do that. And therefore my challenge to you this morning is to slot in, to get involved. Don't wait for someone to come to you to invite you to sell. Don't wait for someone to come to you and ask you, do you want to come with to Bible school or shelter or anywhere else? But you go to people that can help you to slot in. Can I quickly ask the salary desk? Can you just quickly stand up? Mike, you and Paul as well. Raylene, I want to ask you to stand up as well. That people can see you. Then the back is also people standing. So if you're sitting here this morning and say, okay, but I'm not in cell, so this is on you now, then you go to any one of them and say, listen, I want to get involved in cell. How do I get involved? And they will make sure that you get slotted in somewhere. So don't say one day, no, I've been there, no one invited me. You've been invited this morning to cell. So please go to one of them to sign up. And if even after all of this you want more info after church, you can go to the info table and ask for help there. But like I said, this is my altar call. I really want to challenge you this morning to get involved. I really want to challenge you to become part of this community. But then secondly, what I want to do this morning, so I want to say to you, the starting point is always Jesus Christ. We can't become part of any community if we don't come to Christ. And thinking about that song that we sang earlier, about now's the time to worship, so often we think, okay, but yes, my life is just a mess. And I must just first sort this out and get things in place and, you know, in a way look better and then I'll go. Then I can go to Christ and then He'll accept me. But I'm telling you this morning, He's accepting you the way you are right now. I remember my first time, when that first time, that moment was there where I realized, but I'm not following Christ. I need Christ. I need Him in my life. I don't know how this is supposed to work. But I'm going to get my life sorted out. And I'm going to do this thing. And nothing changed. And I also remember that moment when someone asked me, are you following Christ? And I was offended in a way, thinking about how, what makes you think I'm not following Christ. But it was visible that I wasn't following Him. And I was challenged by that question. And that moment I realized, I can't go get myself sorted out and come to Christ. I must come to Him right here, right now, just the way I am. Place of beginning to become part of a community is Christ. So this morning, I'm going to finish in prayer and then afterwards, you're welcome to come to the front so that we can pray with you. If you haven't given your heart to Christ yet, this morning is an opportunity for you to do that. And you don't have to go sort out anything before you come. You can just come. And He's accepting you the way you are. This morning, this moment, He'll receive you like that. Can we close our eyes, please? Thank you, Father, that we can be here this morning. Thank you, Father, that we can know in your eyes we've got value. Thank you, Father, that we can know, Lord, that you've paid a price for each of us. You bought our lives with the blood of your Son, with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you did that because you love us. But Lord, you're not forcing any of us to do anything. You're not forcing any of us to give up our own lives. You're not forcing any of us to come to you. You're inviting us. And we need to choose, Father, whether we want to follow you or not. Because the invitation is standing. And therefore, Father, I just want to pray for every person, every one of us in this place this morning. Father, that we'll really grow into a place of community, of becoming one, of being one. So that people can see your Son. And so that people can experience your love, the price you've paid for them. But also, Father, I want to pray for every person maybe sitting here this morning that never made that decision to follow you. And Lord, I know it's difficult to lay down our own lives and to start to follow you. But I want to pray for every person like that this morning, Father, that they'll come so that we can pray with them, so that they can start to follow you, and so that they can experience what it means to follow you in the community of church, not on their own. So that we can journey with them as they'll be growing with you in relationship. And Lord, maybe someone is sitting here this morning saying, but I've done this before. I've tried this before and nothing changed. But maybe, Lord, they've done it on their own. And they were never supposed to walk their journey on their own. We were supposed to be there with them. So therefore, Father, that we're praying for opportunity to walk with other people, to come to you, and to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Father, as we leave this building today, let us really be representatives of you, representing you, be carriers of the light, taking light, your light, into darkness. May the world see you through us in what we say and in what we do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.